My name's Danny. It's a pleasure to be with you all today. There's been so many things that have changed in my life over the past few months. So I came here as a pastor. I moved from Alberta. It's been about 4 months now with my wife, Jose, right there. And we moved here in search of a job. We found one. Jose found a job. We found a house. All really magically came together in like a week's time, which was crazy. But since we've been here, we've had a lot of fires to put out. There's been a lot of things that have come against us. And you know, that means that you're doing something right usually when things start coming against you and you go, okay, I got to deal with this and you got to deal with that. So there's something happening. And so we've had a lot of fires since we moved here. And not just physical, there's just been a lot of problems that we've been facing. And one of the biggest problems was Jose's car. And so I don't know if anyone here is mechanically inclined. I am not. I am not. But you either have a lot of money or you have a lot of time. And I had more time than I had money. So I figured, since we have to import both of our cars, and I already spent way too much money importing my car from Alberta to BC, I'll do some work on Jose's car. So we go into Canadian Tire. They tell us it needs this, that, and the other, and a bunch of crazy things that I didn't know how to do. But I know there's YouTube. So I go, okay, here's how you change a control link arm and a throttle engine body position sensor. Just crazy things that I had no idea what they were. But I go, okay, YouTube it. I think I can do it. Let's save some money. So I need a couple different parts, and so I think, how can I get these parts nice and cheap? Because I spent so much money on my car, how can I get these parts nice and cheap? So I think, well, we're going to Kelowna, I can stop in to pick and pull, in and out in an hour, and I'll get these parts nice and cheap. And so I was like, okay, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I have my YouTube videos. I say, Delmar, can I borrow some tools? Delmar goes, of course, of course. He gives me more tools than I could possibly need. And then I'm so ready to go, but just one more thing, I need that anointing, so I got people to pray over me, and Danny will successfully repair his car. He'll get his parts. He'll do everything he needs. In Jesus' name, amen. I get people to pray for me. And I'm like, I am so ready to go to pick and pull and fix Jose's car. Well, we're going to dive into Matthew 14. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. And it's a story that might be familiar to most of you. It's kind of a famous story. It's about water. It's about thunderstorms. So let's read the first little bit. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the other people home, after sending them home, he went to the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. He fled up to the hills to pray. This was not something that was foreign to Jesus. Jesus often went off on his own to pray, and no better place to pray by yourself when the crowds are huge, huge crowds, than going away to the hills. He was looking for that private place. And there's this word in the text that says he fled up to the hills. Is the connotation behind there. So why did he flee? It's because just before this, there was 5,000 people that had a miracle right in front of them. But it wasn't so much that they got fed bread and fish. It was that the bread of life was in front of them, and they didn't see it. And so that miracle about the loaves and the fish is amazing, but they misunderstood that the material provision was not the miracle. It was Jesus who was the spiritual provision. He was that bread of life. And so he's frustrated. They want to make him something that he's not. They want to make him the Messiah king, because that person would overthrow the Romans and do all these crazy things. And that wasn't who Jesus was. That wasn't what he was sent here to do. And so they misunderstood. And even the disciples, These were the ones that were supposed to know him, yet they still misunderstood. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. They're in trouble, far away from land. Jesus is on the hill praying. He had sent his disciples out. They were on the water. I don't know if you've ever been in the midst of a big thunderstorm. I hope you have been. It's crazy. I couldn't even imagine being on the water. Is anyone here like a fisherman? Like deep sea fisherman? Has anyone ever done that? No? Maybe? Yes? No. No one's done that. Okay, well, I can imagine what a huge storm would look like in the middle of the ocean. Here they are facing this huge storm. But it wasn't any storm. It wasn't just a storm. This word, fighting, they were fighting the heavy waves. This word is actually the same word in the Greek as tormented. So they weren't just fighting these waves, they're being tormented. And more so than this, the word tormented is most often associated with demonic or cult activity. So there's not evidence that says 100% this was a demon in this storm or demonic, but it sure could be. It sure could be. And so they're fighting this thing that's not only just a storm, it's evil coming against them. In the wee hours of the night, when everything was darkest, so was that torment. And they were in the middle of it. They were in the middle of it. And then it says about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." And like, we have the privilege of reading and going, "Oh, well, it's Jesus. I know this story. I've been there before. I've read this story. I know what's happening." But put yourself in that position. Could you imagine seeing someone coming on the waves? I couldn't. I don't know what I would think. It's almost kind of like in the middle of the night when you wake up. I don't know if you've ever done this. In the middle of the night, you wake up and you've left a jacket on a chair or something, and it just looks creepy. And you wake up and you go, "Oh." Then you got to pray against it, and then you go, "Oh, it's just a sweater or a jacket, right?" I don't know. Our mind plays tricks on us. But they were scared. They were scared. They didn't know what that was. They were already fearful in the midst of this torment, in the midst of this storm. And really, logically, what else could it be? What else could it be but a ghost? So we know that it's Jesus. We read this story, but they're misunderstanding again. So he replies. He says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." And he says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." It's compassion and patience with the ones that were supposed to understand but didn't. These people, these disciples, were the closest ones to Jesus, yet they still couldn't understand. And really, how could they in that moment? So he's patient with them. He says, "Don't be afraid." And I think often we can interpret that verse and look at that and say, "I shouldn't be afraid. In my situation, in my circumstances, I shouldn't be afraid." And that's not what Jesus is saying right here. He's not saying that we shouldn't be afraid, but it's that we don't have to be afraid when those winds, when those waves come to torment us. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the one that we are looking at is the one who created the water. The one who has created that water is now on top of it and calling to us, saying, "Don't be afraid." We don't have to be afraid. But it's understandable that they are. It's understandable. And so when he says, "Take courage, I am here," that "I am" literally is ego in me, which is "I am," which is what God spoke to Moses. So what literally he is saying is, "I am God. I am here for you. Do not be afraid." There's power in these words. That's why I repeated them. And so Peter, what does he say to Jesus? He says, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Walking on the water. Peter realizes who is on the water. The great I am is on the water. And Peter says these words because he realizes who is on that water. And it's not if it's you, it's since it's you. Please enable me to do the thing that you are also doing. He understands who Jesus is. He's seen Jesus move. And Peter has that crazy faith where he'll step out on the water. He'll do that crazy thing because he knows who he's following. And so with an explicit command from his master, which is, yes, come, he gets out of the boat on the water. We have that same opportunity as believers. When Jesus says, yes, come, we too can do crazy things that we never thought imaginable. And so he gets out of the boat. He gets out of the boat. It says, Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. So he stumbles. I think that's very human. I think we can relate to that. I think if we put ourselves in the story, most likely we too would stumble. There's things, there's wind and there's waves coming against him. And it's all sides. It's not just the storm. It's Satan coming against him. It's demons. It's all these things. It's the circumstances that he's been faced with. And even though he had the faith to step out on the water, still, it doesn't change that circumstance that he's in. He's surrounded by it. But it wasn't the water that tripped him up, because that's probably what it, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little clumsy. Maybe I just trip a little bit on the wave. But it wasn't the water. It was the wind. It was the surrounding circumstance that tripped him up. It was the wind. It was doubt. It was doubt. The word here that says that he was terrified, that he was torn apart in two, means to doubt. When I'm holding on to the circumstance, yet I'm trying to hold on Jesus, I'm being torn apart into two. We're pulled apart in two different directions when we face the storm. It's yes, I want to follow Jesus, or yes, I'd like to have that kind of faith, or yes, I'd like to have that kind of life, but do you know what I'm going through right now? Do you know all the things that are coming against me right now? I'm being torn in two. That's not easy to bear. The circumstance, the wind, the waves, the storm, had more weight on Peter than Jesus. If you're trying to walk on water, you should probably be light. And there's this verse in the Bible where Jesus says, my yoke is light and easy to bear. And if we're going to even try to step on the water, that explicit invitation from our master and that needing to be light can't come from ourselves. So, in the midst of his circumstance, he got too heavy. How heavy are you right now? I'm sure you're thinking about your circumstance. And everyone's going through it. That's okay. How heavy are you in your finances, in your relationships, in your life, with the kids, with the wife, with the husband? Life gets hard, and circumstances come against us, sometimes that we can't even control. How heavy are you right now? And so, I went to pick and pull. I went to pick and pull. I journeyed to West Bank, Kelowna, or West Kelowna. I don't know. I've only been here 4 months, so if it's different, forgive me. But I go to West Bank, and it's a long drive, and I finally get there, and I'm excited to use my tools. Like I said, I'm not a handyman, but I'm ready to do it. I've been anointed by God. I'm going to fix Jose's car. So I go to find the 07 Corolla, or not Corolla, it's a Cobalt. 07 Cobalt was the car that I needed. So I'm looking through the list. Here's an 06. That's got to be close enough. So I go to that 06. I go, oh, there's two screws. Got that part easy. Then I spend the next hour, 2 hours, trying to get this front suspension part out. And I'm cranking and I'm cranking, and that bolt won't move. It's just spinning. And I'm cranking, I'm cranking. The bolt won't move. So, like the resourceful man I am, I don't give up yet because I'm stubborn. I go to Canadian Tire. So I leave, I go to Canadian Tire, I find a nice old man, and I say, hey, can you help me with this problem? Give me the tools. I just need a tool. I know that this bolt will come off. I just need a tool. I don't care how much I have to spend. That was the wrong statement. And so I spent way more money than I should have spent. But that's okay, I have the tools now. I got a drill, I got a pair of needle nose vice grips, I've got even more tools than Delmar sent me with. So I got a lot of tools. And I go back to pick and pull, and I spend the next hour and a half trying to get it off, and it still won't go. And I'm getting more and more frustrated, and I'm getting more and more angry, because why isn't this working? This stupid bolt is just spinning and spinning and spinning, and I can't get it. And I'm getting so angry, and all these things just are flooding against me. And it's not just the car, it's all the other things. It's the pressure of being a man, providing for your household. It's the pressure of being there for your wife. It's the pressure of having to have things all together in the midst of so many things coming against you. And so I can't get this stupid bolt off. I'm getting very angry. And I don't want to quit. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so I go, okay, I give up. I give up. I can't do it anymore. And I'm not doing it justice, because there's so much inner turmoil in me. I'm so ashamed, because why can't I take a bolt off? It was two bolts. That's it. It's two bolts, and that's it. Why can't I do it? What kind of man am I? Why can't I do something mechanically inclined? Why can't I just do it? Whatever, I quit. I give up. I take my one part that I did get really easy. I drive back home another, like, I don't know, 2 hours? How long is it to close? A long time. It felt like forever. I'd been going at it in that day. And I get home. I open up the hood of Jose's car. I take off all the parts that I need to take off, and then I go to put the piece in, and it's completely different. Like, it's not even close to the same. It's the same part, but from 06 to 07, and Tim knew already when I said 06 to 07, it was a different piece. It was a different part. They were incompatible. They didn't work. And so I'm sitting there pretty much like this. And I can't believe it. I've wasted my whole day trying to get this piece to fit. And I'm white knuckling, because man, did I have anger issues. Praise the Lord, I don't anymore. But man, I just want to hit something, because I'm angry. And it's not because of this piece. It's because of everything that's around me. And so I just see the first thing, and I'm not going to hit something because my knuckles, I shattered them before. So I boot my car. Just boot it. And I boot the bumper, because I think, plastic. But behind the bumper, there was something really concrete-like. And so I boot that bumper like an idiot. And then I go, ah! And I can't walk. And there's searing pain through my big toe. I'm like, you idiot! What are you doing? And I, like, it's kind of funny, but I went into the house, and I hadn't showered, I hadn't eaten, I hadn't done anything with the day. My toe was literally throbbing. And I get into the shower, so it's like I just need something to make me feel okay. I get in the shower, and I cry. Because the weight that is upon me. And like I said, it's more than a car. It's everything. It's everything is coming against me. I'm being tormented right now. And now I've done something stupid, because I've been trying to do it on my own strength. And so in that moment, I've lost. I've lost my faith. I've lost my drive. I've lost my confidence. I've lost everything. And so I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God. Why would you do this to me, God? Why wouldn't you let me take off 2 bolts? Why would you let me kick the car? Again, stupid. But this is what I'm thinking. Everything's coming against me. I've had it. I'm done. I've lost my faith. So did Peter. So did Peter. When he's terrified and he began to sink, he lost his faith. So what does he say? He says, save me. Save me, Lord. Because he knew who he was talking to. And he shouted it. Just like me when I said, ah! And I kicked that bumper. He said, save me, Lord. That sentence, save me, springs this action. It says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Immediately. There was no hesitation. Why did God immediately save him? It's because he loves that kind of cry. That cry that says, I've had it to hear. I can't do it anymore. Save me, God. And whether you have been a believer for a really long time and you've been white-knuckling your way through stuff, trying to walk on water, but you can't, and you finally come to that place where you say, God, I need you more. I'm done looking at my circumstances. I'm done being divided. I need you, God. He loves that cry. Or if you haven't relied on God, if you finally came to the end of yourself and said, I can't take this anymore. Maybe you're real, maybe you're not, but I'm done with it. I'm done trying to do this alone. So you finally say, God, like me, 7 years ago, save me. I don't know where else to turn. He will immediately grab you. And how does he respond? He says, you have so little faith. Why'd you doubt me? And I think we misunderstand this verse as well. This verse doesn't mean, oh, you know, you have little faith. It's you have no faith. It's you've lost your faith. Because even a little faith will make mountains move. Just a little bit, a mustard seed, right? So it's not that Peter has a little bit of faith. It's that he's lost his faith and, in fact, put his faith into the storm more than Jesus. Jesus loves us. I hope you know that. Jesus loves us through our highs and our lows, through our weakness and our strength. He will be there for you. And so when I'm in my low, just like Peter, I don't know where to turn. And like a good pastor, I don't turn to God. I turn to who can I call, right? Who can I ask for help? Who can I talk to? And so I phone my best buddy in Kamloops, and he doesn't pick up the phone. I'm like, oh, he would have been really good to talk to right now. And then I phone my dad, who's like my hero. He's everything that I try to be. He's an amazing man. I phone my dad, and I'm pretty close to tears. I'm like, Dad, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I don't know how you're doing it, like how you hold the weight of a family and a job and everything. I never knew, but now that I'm on my own in a family, not even with kids yet, I'm going, oh, that weight, it's so strong. It's heavy. And he goes, I know. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I'm sorry, but I know. I know what you're going through. And that was enough. Just to hear my dad say, I know what you're going through. That was enough to make me feel better. And then I could breathe again. And I think that wasn't so much my dad, but it was Jesus saying through him, I know what you're going through. I know how heavy it's been on your shoulders. I know how that relationship has been stressing you. I know how much that financial burden is stressing you. I know what you're going through. And I'm with you in it. And more than that, I'm the only one who can save you from it. And so in that moment, my dad became a vessel for Jesus to speak to me. And so when we come back to the story, he says, Why'd you lose your faith in me, Peter? Why'd you do that? You were just walking on water. Why? And they climbed back into the boat, and then the wind stopped. And the disciples worshiped him. They said, you really are the Son of God. You really are. They realized who he was. Son of God is related to that supernatural display of power. And it's funny to me that after this, there's five unique references to Peter after. So it's almost like Matthew's highlighting Peter as special. And I wonder, why is Peter so special? He fell, he failed, he began to sink. And then something clicked in my mind and I realized it wasn't Peter walking on water, it was Jesus. It wasn't his win, his success, that made Jesus go, this guy will be the guy. It was actually his failure. It was his weakness. When we are weak, he is strong. When we fail, he's there to pick us up. And that doesn't mean that we can sin and do all these things wrong just to get Jesus to do stuff for us, but it means that we acknowledge that we are too weak. We don't have it all together. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. God, help me. Save me. And so the wind stops. The wind stops. Why? Why did that wind stop so suddenly? Because the lesson was over. He never meant his disciples to drown in that storm. This is a lyric from a song, but I believe this is for many of you today. What you should have drowned in, he will make you stand upon. Do you believe that? Do you have even a little bit of faith to say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm at the end of my rope. Can we be real enough? Just like I'm doing right here. Can we be real enough to proclaim that? You know, he was always in control. Jesus was always in control. You want to know how I know that he was in control? Because he sent them into the storm. If you look back, Jesus said, go. So he sent them. Why would Jesus let me go through this? And that's what it feels like when you're going through it. Why, God? It was a lesson. It was meant to build you, not meant to drown you. So maybe for some of you here today, you look back at your situation and you go, why did I have to do that? That almost broke my faith, or that did break my faith. It was never meant to. It's meant to build you. It was meant to build you. So I believe today we have three options. We have three things to learn from the story and maybe apply. Number one, we can keep our eyes down on the waves. In the circumstances, it's that I'm going to white knuckle my way through this situation. I'm going to white knuckle my way through the storm. I'm going to do it on my own power. My eyes are on my feet because I just need to see that next step. We keep our eyes down. Or maybe we look at our side, to the right and to the left, and we look at our circumstance, and instead of being on top of the waves, we're split apart like this, going, maybe over here, maybe over here. I'm looking to all my circumstances for reassurance. I'm looking to my buddies for reassurance. I'm looking to the side. Or are we going to keep our eyes up on the one who can truly keep us above water? Are we going to keep our eyes down? Are we going to look at our circumstances? Are we going to look at the one who made those waves, the only one who's going to carry us through? Church, why don't you pray with me? God, thank you. Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you for making me weak. I never thought that I would pray that prayer, but thank you for making me weak so that I can see how strong you are. Would you please, I beg of you, give these people the faith, because we don't muster up that faith. We can't even do that on ourselves. Would you give these people the faith to get through their circumstance? And in fact, not even get through, but stand on top of it. Whatever their circumstance is, whatever that storm is, God, would you make it so that what they should have drowned in, they will in fact stand upon? I pray that you would bless this congregation with the knowledge that it was just a test and you were there through everything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, small groups. I went first. Now it's your turn. What storm are you going through? Why don't you throw up that discussion question on the screen there? We're going to get back in our small groups, and a question literally is just what I talked about. What is the situation you're currently walking on or drowning in? Can we be real with each other? And where are you looking in the midst of it? This isn't meant to shame you. This isn't meant to make you go, oh, I'm freaking out here because people are going to know that I don't have it all together. I don't. No one does. We're all just trying to make it through together. So why don't you turn around, get back into your small groups, and be real with each other.